Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Right now, we got a whole lot more Giant stuff for you. And he is in the house. He's actually here in studio, two-time Super Bowl champ, our buddy Brandon Jacobs. BJ, what's going on, dude? Welcome back to the fan.
BT, man, you know, it's great, man. Things are great. Love being here. Always love being here. There's always some nice energy around here.
There's
man.
Always energy. Did you hear me and him yelling a little bit? He doesn't like what the Giants did. He thinks the Giants messed up last night,
Does he really? Why is that?
Well, I'd be curious to get your take on it, Brandon. I watched you, obviously, throughout your career win, running the football, defense, smash-mouth football, obviously Eli being clutch. You didn't need a top wide receiver with the Giants. We saw Odell Beckham Jr., top wide receiver. They didn't win squat after your guys' model left and moved on, right? I know the sport has evolved and changed. Do you believe in building a team by getting a top receiver? Me, I would have traded down if you didn't like the quarterback. I just don't believe in needing a star receiver. How do you view building a football team?
As a running back, right? So I want to take you back.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a top wide receiver to be able to make a team. Do you remember in 2008 we dominated everybody?
Right.
And a mistake happened with Plexico.
Yeah.
Once that happened with Plexico, our team did what?
Right. I know you went south.
We went down.
Everything changed.
It changed everything. 12-4 ended up losing to the Eagles that year.
It changed everything. You know why? Because we had our way of playing. We had our identity. Right, you got a 6'5" wide receiver on the outside that can outrun just about any DB out there. So he's going to take a little bit to handle. Right? Yep. So while you're taking a little, I think Plexico had that season. I think he had like 400, 500 yards receiving.
Really good blocker, too. Really good blocker.
So he mattered to our offense a lot. You're going to sit there and double coverage and put him in double coverage.
Right.
So me and Amaj is going to run down your
right, throat. But as far as level of importance, interior line play, quarterback, edge rusher, corners, like to me, I just don't. You could find wide receivers, and the fact that the Giants don't have a lot to begin with, they don't. I don't think they have a quarterback now. Maybe your opinion is different. You like Daniel Jones. I just feel like it's building outside in, building backwards, where they needed so many other things as opposed to a wide. It's not about Neighbors himself. He could be a stud for all I care. I mean, it's not about that. It's just about taking a wide receiver that early.
Honestly, I'm going to go and tell you this because you said about interior linemen as far as. You know, I think that's a need almost for every team. But you just seen we just took two tackles in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Top five. Top
right.
Six
too bad only one of them could play.
Wow. You know what I mean? Right. So you see where we at with that, right? And saying that was a need for us at the time, but I think you can also find that later on in the draft. I think this whole draft thing, man, just like the draft and free agency, I think it's kind of pissing in the wind a little bit. You know,
and that's not fun for anybody.
Well, you were overlooked. Tiki's overlooked, second round pick. I get you on some level. Yeah, go ahead.
I think these guys go with team need so much. Like obviously somebody has to be taken early, but it's a lot of talent all throughout the draft. You know, and sometimes some guys are hyped up, and some guys that are not. You know, I came in the fourth round, and they didn't expect anything out of me.
Right. Nope.
I broke the rushing record.
You bounced around. Good touchdowns. You know? A couple of colleges, right. You bounced around. Back when everybody wasn't bouncing around, right. Everybody's bouncing around now. It's a different thing with the portal. We'll talk to our buddy Brandon Jacobs in studio, BT and South. All right, so it wouldn't have made any sense to cut Jones or move on from Jones now based on what they owe him, almost $70 million. It's reckless. You can't do that. But what I don't want to see, I'll speak for myself, like, I don't want to see like a slightly above average season from Jones, and you might get that because Neighbors are going to be a beast, and you got some other pieces O-line getting a little bit better. And then the Giants themselves say to themselves, oh, man, maybe we can push this thing long-term forward with Jones. I don't think he's that guy. Do you?
I think he has – I still think Daniel Jones has everything to be that guy.
Really?
I do.
You think he's got elite arm talent, man?
I do. Okay, I think he's got elite arm. I do because if you give Daniel Jones, you know, some guys around him, you know, he hasn't really had, you know – who was going to be our leading receiver last year coming into the season? We was all looking at Darren Waller like he was going to be the guy, right?
Yeah.
He was going to be the guy. He ended up suffering a bunch of injuries. You know, we had Saquon. You know, he missed a couple of games. And Daniel Jones was on and off the field from injuries. You know, you got Evan Neal that was hurt for the majority of the season.
Andrew Thomas got hurt the first game, I think, with a hamstring.
It was just so much going on. It was just so – it was that dark cloud that was around our team that we don't really know how good we really could have been because we had so many guys down. You know, and I think, you know, given this year we just drafted Malik Neighbors in the top 10, obviously. I think he's top 10 talent.
I love him. I think he's the best wide. I think he's better than Harrison.
I agree 100%. And you know, not to take anything from Harrison, I think he's great as well. But I think Malik Neighbors brings more as a complete wide receiver than any other wide receiver in the draft. Why? Because he can catch the ball. You know, he can run a hitch and take it 80 yards, break tackles.
Yep.
You know, he runs every route in the route tree. You know, he has down the field speed to, you know, threaten your defense to get behind him. The guy can do everything, and I'm glad Malik Neighbors is with the Giants because I'm probably one of the biggest Malik Neighbors fans there is. You know, so
set behind me, brother. I'm number one. I'm
fan. Born and raised in Louisiana, watching play, man. So he's from Louisiana. So
you've seen him.
I don't know, BT.
Maybe you are number one. I got you.
Friendly reminder: Odell Beckham Jr. was also from there, and the Giants won squat with him. So, and he was a great receiver. Like
he's a great receiver,
right?
He was a great receiver, but the Giants made the playoffs and went 11-5 with Odell Beckham Jr.
But they
did it with their defense, and then when it came time for the Giants to show up in the playoff game, Odell was partying on the boats. And remember, they had Odell, Victor Cruz, they still couldn't move the football. Odell was a game changer as far as you get the ball in his hands, you could flip the field one play. That offense was not good with Ben McAdoofus. You know, Ben McAdoo, I call him Ben McAdoo.
I get it.
Yeah, I just want to clarify for those who didn't
get it. Jacob, you see what I got to deal with this guy every day? And he's nuts,
isn't he? I just feel, now, if you believe in Daniel Jones, totally different story and totally understand this pick. If you're the belief, and it sounds like you are, Brandon, and other Giant fans, we've heard from them. If you are the belief of Daniel Jones just having a fluke bad year last year because of injury not only to him, but Barkley, Thomas, all the stuff that we mentioned before, then I understand this pick. Then this pick does make sense. I do not believe in Daniel Jones. Therefore, the pick to me does not make sense. I think they need a new quarterback.
So you think the Giants should have took a quarterback?
Or if you didn't like one, like I would trade up for May. Take McCarthy at 6 or Penix at 6.
No, don't take McCarthy.
Well, yeah, McCarthy's saying, not it.
Yeah, no. Well, me personally, I would have probably taken Penix at 6 or trade down. If you don't love one of those guys, that's fine too, but then trade down and get more picks to where you could build your team better. I just would not have taken the stud receiver. I just feel like it's building the team backwards.
So we're talking to Brandon Jacobs, of course, two-time Super Bowl champ. He's in studio. Let's give this a pop here. We'll get some stuff on social media for you as well before we get back. Maybe to the coach, I want to address some things in the building. So the celebrity softball game with your buddy Dexter Lawrence, Team Lawrence versus Team Jacobs. Mm-hmm. It's coming up Saturday, May 18th. It's over in Pomona, beautiful minor league stadium. So first of all, who's on your roster? Who's on Team Jacobs so far?
Man, I got most of my guys coming. You know, the only question mark we got now is Eli. Is Eli going to be able to make it?
Ooh.
It was too far out in advance for him to be able to commit because, you know, he got a lot of stuff going on. So
well, what's he got going on in May? I mean, he's not doing games in May. He's playing golf in May. What's he doing?
Well, when you're Eli Manning, you never know what's going to come up. That might be a little bit more worth it to do than a damn softball game.
Okay.
You know,
who do you think is the best softball player of the bunch? Like, I feel like Eli wouldn't be good.
No,
at softball.
Eli was a great baseball player. Better than Peyton. Great baseball player.
Read that wrong. I feel like tall, lanky, maybe.
World-class athlete, man.
Who else on your team could play? Could you play?
Yeah, I can play.
You don't look like a baseball player.
Who's that?
You.
I don't look like I can breaststroke either, huh?
No, but you do look like you can kick the snot out of both of us here.
Looks like Albert Bell or something. Frank Thomas, actually, now that I think about it. So who else is on the team? Is Tiki playing or no?
We would love Tiki to be there. I don't think he can be there due to whatever he has.
Gotcha,
going on, man.
Gotcha.
But, we would love him to be able to be there, man.
And what are we raising money for? What is this all about? Obviously, it's for a good cause.
For St. Christopher's.
Yeah. Oh, love it.
They do a lot of work with kids.
Yep, patron saint of kids.
So man, absolutely. Every time we do this, we want to tag a good charity to it. You know, we haven't done it in 5 years.
Okay.
Our last time doing it was, I think, right before COVID. And we took a break off of it. And then, of course, it was with Landon Collins then before.
Yeah.
And now it's with Dexter Lawrence. So, man, it's always good to get out with a lot of my guys I play with and to get out around the new guys and the current guys and, like, see what they got going on, see what their mindset is for the, season. You know, that way I will be able to have a better idea of what the New York Giants is going to do throughout the season after the softball game.
Tickets can be purchased on the MLB ticket site. It is for St. Christopher's, Inc., which is an organization empowering children and youth with special needs. Of course, looks like a fun event. Dexter, Sexy Dex! And big Brandon Jacobs. Yeah, I mean, boy, that's a battle you two going at right there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
You think he's one of the guys who may be able to tackle you? I mean, even back in your... He's a beast.
You know, but the easiest person on the field to run over? A defensive lineman.
Because he's got no momentum going forward.
One, and he's got to be getting off of a block. So his feet is not playing.
He's a little preoccupied with somebody else.
I mean, I still remember playing against the Cowboys and playing against, Ferguson at the time?
Yeah, Ferguson
was
there.
He was getting off of a block that Sean Harris, somebody had come, and he stuck his whole body in the hole or just...
Really?
He stuck his arm out, just ran. I think he tore his pec and everything then.
Give me your most satisfying, like, smashing somebody down the field, either stiff arm or just bowling them over like you did so many. You have one guy in particular that you just destroyed?
I'm going to say Brian Urlacher. I'm going to say that because he's a bigger body. Running over Laurent Landry, that was his DB that tried to hit high. That's
come
given.
On, yeah.
That's like a turnstile. Yeah. You just keep moving.
So I'm
Disney turnstile.
But I was running against the Chicago Bears, and I was going toward the sideline, and I saw Urlacher pursuing toward the sideline. He had no idea. I put my foot in the ground and got north-south, and boom!
Wow.
Knocked him, he flew off. And
I don't remember that one. So you got him a little bit on the side?
I got him, so I'm running here.
Yep.
And he's pursuing.
He's coming there.
And as he's going, I put my foot in the ground and boom, just like that. And I already saw the corner outside. He had leverage outside, so I'm like, I'm going to have to try to squeeze inside the wide receiver. So that meant I'll be running away from him. It would be easier for him to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to run, put my foot in the ground and find a little crease and run right into him. I might have got like 8 extra yards just because I did that.
That's good stuff. I wish I could do stuff like that. The old-time Giants touchdowns leader.
I wish you could do stuff like that.
I wish. Trust me, I wish. Let me ask you this. The Giants building in general, and the Giants organization in general has taken a knock, and rightfully so. Now, a couple of years ago, it was a lot of fun. They won more games than we thought. They went to Minnesota. They waxed them. They won a real playoff game. Got to respect that. Mm-hmm. We all do, even if it wasn't sustainable, because then they got waxed the next game, and it kind of reality set in. But between ownership maybe being, I want to say, a little spotty the last couple of years, but it doesn't feel like it used to. Is it getting back to there? Because the Giants were always defined by class and stability and always doing the right thing. And now it's like the building with Wink and Dable a year ago was a mess. Like, where is the, in a long-winded way, where is the building right now?
Well, I got to tell you, guys, I haven't really been in the building.
But
I think, coming in, and I think you have to sense energy as a owner, general manager of a team. I think you have to sense energy in between coaches. You have to watch them on the sideline. I think it's like you have to watch them interact, right? If you see the stubbornness of one coach, you can't have a stubborn coach. I think that's probably what it is. Most of the time, your head coach can't be stubborn. Your coordinators can't be stubborn. Your position coaches can't be stubborn. It's a team job.
Do you think Dable's stubborn? He comes across as a little stubborn. I know Wink was stubborn. Is Dable?
I'm not going to say, because when I had a chance to sit down and talk to Dable, he was awesome. He was absolutely phenomenal to talk to. Great guy. But stubbornness is something that rips apart coaching staff, because everyone, that's their living. That's their profession. They think they're perfect at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear somebody else say something that they're not doing right.
Especially
when your job is something else.
Uh-huh.
You don't worry about my group, right?
Yeah.
So unless, coaches, it's just like players. You have to be able to take accountability from your peer. If you cannot take accountability from your peer, then everything is going down here. You know what I mean? I think that's something more so than anything else. You have to put coaches in place that have a great relationship, right? I've never seen Coach Coughlin get into it with any of his position coaches.
Really?
I've never seen it.
You see Sean Payton do it, and Sean Payton's really good. You've seen others do it. It's not that it can't work, B. It could.
Yeah. I mean, but just as far as what I know, the teams I played on, I've never seen Coach Coughlin jump in one of his coordinator's face. I've never seen a coordinator jump into the position coach face. I've never really seen any of that. And I didn't even see with Wink and I never seen that happen as well. But we all know through the media they disagreed a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can take that for whatever we want to take it for and make it whatever we want to make it, right? But I do think you need to have coaches in there to have a great, great, great rapport with one another, and the players have a great rapport with one another and be able to take accountability from your peer.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata in studio here with Brandon Jacobs. They got the Dexter Lawrence, Brandon Jacobs celebrity softball game coming up Saturday, May 18th, Clover Stadium in Pomona, New York. Tickets can be purchased on the MLB ticket site. The charity, of course, St. Christopher's Inc., which is an organization empowering children and youth with special needs. Brandon, do you still watch? Like, how are you consuming football? You sit there on a big screen and watch all the games. You're watching just the Giants. What's a football Sunday like for you now in retirement?
Well, now in retirement for me, a football Sunday is sitting down with a big screen in front of me with all of the games on there because I am on the radio. I'm on the radio on Sundays.
For where?
ESPN, primetime.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've heard you a couple times.
Yeah, I was not aware of that. Look at you.
Yeah, man. So I'm trying to graduate the TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put this pretty mug, man, right on the screen.
And what do you want to do? Be an analyst for? It doesn't matter, Jets, Giants, or National.
National doesn't matter. I cover any team.
Maybe you and your buddy Rex could do a show together. I know you guys get along, great.
I love Rex. Rex is great.
I told you,
I had opportunity to talk to Rex after that season was over. I was with San Francisco, and we came to play the Jets.
Yep.
And he said, "Hey, you call me fat."
Yeah, I remember.
Look at what you did.
Yeah.
You lost that weight.
But he put it back. I'm not calling him fat, but I think he put it back. So maybe he got called fat again.
Man, it's hard, man. Food is good. It's too easy to get when you got money.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because I would have thought for sure that you would have been a guy who would have just like let yourself go and gotten fat.
Who, me?
Yeah, this guy's a boxer.
You were always a bigger guy. Okay. And like a lot of times you see guys like that, you know, you get done with football, you stop working out, you start eating, like you said, good food, you get fat. You are in peak physical condition.
Well, because, man, I have kids, one, and when I retired, I got into coaching kids. So it kept me busy, hot, moving around. If you're going to be a coach, you can't show an example of what's supposed to be done, you shouldn't be coaching.
Hmm.
Especially a young man that's coaching
kids.
Was 32, 33 years old when I started coaching. Kids were 7.
Yeah.
So if I can't teach them what to do, show them what to do,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be doing it. You know, I got a big son, man, just committed to Clemson.
That's so phenomenal. We're going to break a little bit. Tell everybody how big he is, by the way.
He's 6. He's almost 6'8". You know, just waiting at like 3:33 or 3:34, something like that.
3:30. So, can he play for the Knicks Sunday?
Yeah, man. So he plays Philly? Tackle.
Can he take out Embiid?
I don't think Embiid out, man.
What?
Embiid at 50.
Yeah, I'm saying take him out physically. Take him out. But what he did to him last night? Take him out. Not just shut him down. I mean, take him out, B.
He's a beast, man.
Hey, by the way, I meant to ask you this.
He plays for the Giants. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Come on.
So, man, one day.
Yeah, we've heard about him. I remember you telling me about him a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember this real fast. He loves Harbaugh. I love Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, I was in San Francisco for a minute, when you were with the Niners for a minute, mm-hmm. and I actually went on the field and I saw you mm-hmm. pregame. Remember that? Like when you didn't play much. And you were pissed at Harbaugh. I just went to say what's up because we did radio together back in the day, whatever. Same agent back in the day. And I think Harbaugh's amazing, but it didn't work out for Braylon Edwards. Didn't work out for you. Like, what is Harbaugh's deal? Because people either love him or don't, and he's polarizing. I think he's a great coach. What was your experience with him?
Well, my experience with Jim, man, I got hurt in the preseason, and that kind of tainted my whole time over there. You know, going over there, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I ended up getting hurt in the preseason. I kind of never was the same. But I thought they was going to put me on IR. You know, I had a grade 2.5 tear on my MCL, so I didn't even know I was going to really be able to come back from that.
Yep.
So they nursed me back, and I come back, and I'm thinking, okay, these guys don't want to put me on IR. They got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, my issue is with Jim, he lied to me.
What did he tell you, and then what did he do?
Well, because, you know, it was like, okay, we're going to make you inactive this game. We're going to make you inactive this game. We want to save you down to the playoffs. You've been there. You played this game long enough. We want to save you for the playoffs, save you for the playoffs, this, that, and the third. And the whole time, I just, for whatever reason, well, I don't know, I went to practice. I did everything I had to do. So my time there, you know, Frank hadn't been making it through the season.
Frank Gore?
You know, Frank got to a point that season where, man, he just worked out hard. We worked out hard, like in the offseason. And
Vernon Davis, tight end. He was a weight room guy.
I just wasn't one of Jim's guys.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I do.
That's just what it was. Like they offered my son at Michigan when he was there.
Oh.
And I said to myself, I'm like, man, that's something he would do. That's something he would do just to be like.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Like arrogance kind of deal or?
I mean, only with certain people, I guess. But you got to be his guy, though. And everybody that's played for Jim, they probably tell you that if you're not his guy, you scum of the earth.
Is that different for anywhere else? Like, don't you almost have to be? Like, if you're not Coughlin's guy, you're not Coughlin's guy. Well, if you're not Dable's guy, okay, go ahead.
That's not true with Tom, because Tom is the same way with everybody on the team. He's going to get in. He's going to rip you a new one. He's not about to pick favorites. He's not about to do anything. Now, we know, like, Ahmad was his favorite because he stayed on his back about a whole lot of stuff. So, and he stayed on my back about him. You need to stay on his back as well.
About Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah, I had a whole conversation in the office with him about Ahmad.
Wow.
30 minutes about what I need to do with him.
I know we got to go here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That would annoy me if I'm you, by the way. Yeah. Let me worry about myself. No disrespect,
you came back for the Giants one more year. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you get your 27 back? Andre Brown, like, what? Come on. You won two Super Bowls. Show the guy some respect. Give him his number 27.
Stevie Brown had 27 then, and he was on IR and wouldn't give me the number back.
Did you try to facilitate a trade?
First
some
of all,
money
you shouldn't have had to ask.
I agree
number
with
one.
That's true.
You won two Super Bowls. Everybody knows Brandon Jacobs, number 27.
I get it. I definitely understand. I don't know why he didn't want to give it to me.
All right.
He was on IR. He wasn't even playing. But I don't know for the life of me why I couldn't get it back. I asked because the guy was on IR. Now, if he wasn't on IR and wanted his number, cool. But I guess he felt like he did something in 27 the year prior. So he felt like he. So I don't know if I'd say no to this guy.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
take my number.
That is ballsy.
Take my number.
I didn't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah. I hear you. No, you're not that kind of guy.
That's ridiculous. Andre Brown. Who the hell is that?
Andre Brown.
Yeah.
No, Andre Brown was a guy we had playing running back.
Right.
This is Stevie Brown that had it.
No, wait a second. I'm looking at, maybe this is wrong here. It says Andre Brown had number 27.
Mm-mm. Stevie Brown was number 27.
I'm sorry. Maybe I looked that up wrong. You're right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you would know, obviously, better than I would.
Well, trust me. I knew. I went back over there. I talked to him about it. He was on IR because I went back over there week two. So he was already on IR.
Yep.
So I was like, I'm trying to get 27. He just didn't want to give it back to me. So.
Listen, here's the bad thing about doing radio. We got to go to breaks.
Yeah.
We have to. Otherwise, we could just sit here and shoot the breeze with this guy all day. Good seeing you, bro. You look fantastic.
Good having me.
Congrats on your son.
Thank you.
And all the other stuff.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me. It's always a blast coming here, man.
He's a good dude, man. Brandon Jacobs, two-time Super Bowl champ. We've got Team Lawrence, Team Jacobs, Saturday, May 18th, a little dodgeball home run derby softball game for St. Christopher's to benefit the kids, which is awesome. We'll tweet something out for you, get everybody a link so they can go and donate and check out what's going on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.